is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from AARP. I'm going to be reading to you from the fitness section of Focus on Healthy Aging, which is from the Econ School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. And I've got an article from the New York Times, and we'll see what we can fit in after that. Probably something from AARP. Okay, well, we're going to get started right off the bat with something that I promised you from last time, which was some exercises for a healthy back, and then we're going to move on from there, I promise. Okay, so here's our first article, Strengthen Your Core for a Leaner Look and Less Backache. Your core muscles stabilize and support your spine and help you bend and rotate at the waist. Your core muscles, the muscles around the front and back of your trunk and pelvis, may be less visible than other muscle groups, but that doesn't mean you can forget about them when it comes to fitness. In fact, your ability to perform many physical activities depends on a strong core, says David Thomas, MD. These muscles also help you maintain your balance and avoid back pain if they're in good shape and are working in tandem. If you are finding it difficult to get up out of bed or from a chair, often lose your balance, find it difficult to stoop to put on socks or shoes, or suffer from low back pain, boosting your core strength could make a difference. But Dr. Thomas says you shouldn't just focus on crunch-based exercises. You need a wider range of exercises to work the deeper muscles of your core, he explains. Try these exercises to give the muscles a workout. Check with your doctor first if you suffer from osteoporosis or have back problems. Okay, so this one is lumbar rotation. Lie on your back, legs bent, knees together, and on the floor at your left side, arms bent and hands behind your head. Tighten your abs, keep your upper body still, and slowly roll your knees from the left to the right until they touch the floor, or come as close to the floor as possible without lifting your shoulders. Repeat 2 to 4 times to each side. Rest and complete 2 to 3 sets. All right, sit backs. Sit on the floor with your knees bent and your arms crossed over your chest. Tighten your abs and back muscles and lower your upper body back as far as you comfortably can for 3 counts. So hold it for 3 counts. Return to the upright position. Work up to 6 to 8 reps, 2 to 3 sets. Reverse crunches. Lie on your back, knees bent, feet slightly off the floor. Tighten your abs, rotate your pelvis up, and bring your knees toward your chest. Hold for 2 to 3 seconds. Then slowly lower your knees to the starting position. Work up to 8 to 10 reps, 2 to 3 sets. Lie on your back, and this is bridges. Lie on your back, feet flat on the floor, arms extended at your sides. Contract your abs and buttocks, and slowly raise your buttocks off the floor and up toward the ceiling. Do not arch your spine. Hold for 2 to 3 seconds and work up to 8 to 10 reps and 2 to 3 sets. Medicine ball crunches. Lie on the floor, knees bent, holding a 2 to 4 pound medicine ball in both hands with arms extended upward. tighten your abs and slowly raise your shoulders off the floor, then lower down. Work up to 8 to 10 reps, 2 to 3 sets. And modified push-ups. Lie on your stomach, palms near your shoulders. Slowly extend your arms so that your upper body is raised off the floor. Don't fully extend your arms if this is difficult for you. Avoid arching your neck. Work up to 8 to 10 repetitions, 2 to 3 sets. Well, that might help avoid some backache, and it might have been some good exercises for you without paying for either a physician or a physical therapist. All right, and continuing on just a tad and going on over to another subject, continuing with exercise, this is from the New York Times, it was from the Wall Street Journal, Life and Arts section, linking diet, exercise, and Alzheimer's. In his 40s, and a self-described fitness nut, Stephen Chambers, doesn't seem like someone who would be worrying about Alzheimer's. But when his father was diagnosed with the disease about 5 years ago, he went to the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic in New York to see what he could do. Though he had no noticeable memory issues, cognitive testing showed less than ideal levels in certain areas. His neurologist told him there were a number of lifestyle changes that might help his cognition and possibly reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Mr. Chambers, a 48-year-old physical therapist in Jersey City, New Jersey, modified his sleep, diet, and exercise routines. 18 months later, his performance on a battery of cognitive tests improved, particularly in areas like processing speed and executive function, such as decision-making and planning. I feel a certain sense of comfort knowing that there are factors that I can control that can contribute to the decreased risk of me getting Alzheimer's, says Mr. Chambers. Mr. Chambers is among 154 patients in a study published online in Alzheimer's and Dementia, the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association, that doctors say shows encouraging results. Among healthy patients, people who made changes in nutrition and exercise showed cognitive improvements on average. People who were already experiencing some memory problems also showed cognitive improvement if they followed at least 60% of the recommended changes. It's unclear whether the lifestyle changes can actually help prevent the development of Alzheimer's disease or simply improve cognition. This is a therapeutic approach that was shown to not only maintain but improve cognition in people with the earliest stages of Alzheimer's, says Richard Isaacson, a neurologist and first author on the study. While researchers struggle to develop a drug to treat or cure Alzheimer's, some doctors are recommending lifestyle changes. Dr. Isaacson began developing personalized prevention plans for patients of all ages in 2013 when he started the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic at Weill Cornell Medicine and New York Presbyterian, of which he is now director. Alzheimer's disease starts in the brain some 20 to 30 years before symptoms emerge. So intervening early through personalized medicine and lifestyle changes can make a difference, says Dr. Isaacson. For the study, Dr. Isaacson and co-researchers enrolled 154 patients who ranged in age from 25 to 86 in two groups. There was a small group of 35 patients with mild cognitive impairment, MCI, often a precursor to dementia, and a larger group of 119 patients who had no symptoms of memory loss, though some had less than ideal performance on cognitive tests. Based on a battery of blood, genetic, and cognitive tests, as well as measurements of their body fat and muscle mass, patients received a couple of dozen personalized recommendations ranging from eating specific types of fish and berries to taking certain vitamins and tailored exercise plans. 18 months later, they took a series of very sensitive cognitive tests, which may detect cognitive decline before memory problems outwardly appear, says Dr. Isaacson. The majority of both groups of patients showed statistically significant improvements when compared with their baseline, as well as compared with historical control groups. Most surprising, says Dr. Isaacson, is that the MCI, remember that's mild cognitive impairment, patients who followed at least 60% of their recommendations showed cognitive improvement. However, MCI patients who followed less than 60% of the recommendations experienced cognitive declines similar to the control groups, he notes. In the larger group of patients, everyone, including those who didn't follow a large percentage of recommendations, performed better on the cognitive tests compared with their baseline and control groups 18 months later. On average, younger people showed more improvement on the cognitive tests compared with people over 60, says Dr. Isaacson. Patients in both groups had a family history of Alzheimer's disease. Researchers monitored cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar levels because they are linked to an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. And the study tracked patients' body fat and muscle mass. Studies show the memory center of the brain, called the hippocampus, gets smaller as belly size gets larger, says Dr. Isaacson. Patients were assigned exercises based on their body metrics. Other recommendations included targeting stress reduction through activities like meditation and encouraging brain stimulation by learning a new instrument or foreign language. Marwan Sabah, director of the Cleveland Clinic Lou Ruvo Center for Brain Health in Las Vegas, says the results are promising. The people who had the targeted intervention and who were high in their adherence did very, very well over the span of 18 months, showing that these strategies work. And I think that's a very encouraging result, says Dr. Sabah of the study. That is where the trend is going. Ronald Peterson, director of the Mayo Clinic Alzheimer's Disease Research Center in Rochester, Minnesota, called the study encouraging, but cautioned that lifestyle changes aren't a magic bullet. Does that mean we're going to prevent Alzheimer's disease? He says, no. But measures that might help delay the onset are significant. If we can postpone the onset or slow the progression of cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's disease, that's very important, he says. Mr. Chambers says he now eats blueberries or strawberries, which are high in antioxidants, at least 2 or 3 times a week. He eats more of certain kinds of fish to get more omega-3 fatty acids, which can decrease inflammation and improve cardiovascular and brain health. And he adds powdered cocoa flavanols to his morning coffee because studies show they can combat insulin resistance and promote cognitive function. cocoflavanols. He also listens to more music, particularly classical music, and tweaked his workouts to include more high-intensity interval training. The biggest change, he says, was a concerted effort to get more and better sleep by meditating and cutting back on screens before bedtime. I took a lot of steps to really try to be consistent and to prioritize sleeping more and improve the quality of my sleep, he says. Once that changed, we really started to see improvements in all areas. He is no longer pre-diabetic, and his blood pressure and cholesterol levels have improved. Diana Gabriel, a 74-year-old artist and fashionista in Manhattan, says 5 years ago she couldn't remember what restaurant she went to the night before. After hearing Dr. Isaacson speak, she went to see him at his clinic. Within a year, she says she noticed major improvements in her memory, improvements which were validated through cognitive tests. Changes she has made, she says, include intermittent fasting, or not eating for 12 hours overnight, which is linked to lower insulin resistance. She cut out most carbohydrates from her diet and also eats wild fish. She started taking about 8 different types of vitamins and supplements, and she does weightlifting twice a week with a personal trainer to gain muscle mass. It's working, she says. I'm getting biceps. I can tell you yesterday I went for training, and then I went to a jewelry workshop, and I went for wine with my friends, and we met an interesting guy at the bar with the Newport Jazz Festival, she says. I remember yesterday. For a year or almost two, I could not. My memory is not perfect, but this has really given me a new lease on life. And here are some brain boosters cited in the same article. Some changes that Dr. Isaacson says might help improve cognition, depending on body type and medical profile. Consult a doctor first. Eat a half cup of blueberries and strawberries 2 to 3 times a week. Eat 2 to 3 servings per week of wild fish, which are high in omega-3 fatty acids. Add powdered cocoa flavanols to coffee, smoothies, or skim milk. Practice good sleep hygiene. Sleep at least 7.5 hours a day. Avoid caffeine drinks after 1 p.m. Go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. And avoid electronics, texting, and email 30 to 45 minutes before bed. Exercise at least 3 times a week with a mix of aerobic and resistance and slash weight training. Have 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil daily. Cut back on sugar and carbohydrates and look for whole grains and foods with high amounts of fiber. Play a musical instrument. Learn something new, such as a foreign language. Finally, I'm going to leave you with 7 great shortcuts to happiness, and this is from the AARP, January 2nd, 2020. What makes us happy? Perhaps surprisingly, experts say that at least in part, it's growing older. In fact, dozens of studies in the past 15 years suggest our happiness quotient curves upward after age 50 or so. A 2016 study by the Center on Healthy Aging at the University of California, San Diego, for instance, showed that as they age, people report higher levels of overall satisfaction, happiness, and well-being, and lower levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Research from the Stanford Center on Longevity found that age correlates with what's called the positivity effect, where older people experience fewer negative emotions and look back on the past with more satisfaction and less sadness or regret. It's nice to know the overall trends are on our side. Still, even the happiest among us need a little boost sometimes. And while you probably know the bottom line advice on overall wellness, a good night's sleep, a balanced diet, exercise, and social interaction, sometimes we need to connect the dots to target mood and outlook specifically. To help, we consulted experts in the field of happiness for their best shortcuts to good feelings and contentment. 1. Front load your day. This tip from psychologist Mary Pfeiffer, author of Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age, combines a touch of planning with a slight shift in your mindset. Over your cup of coffee or as you lie in bed each morning, ask yourself, what do I want to insert into this day to make it good? As Pfeiffer tells it, learning to do this routinely changed her daily life, helping her to prioritize fun. A lot of people make a to-do list for their chores. If we are overscheduled and rushing, everything becomes one more chore. But you can sit down for a minute and ask yourself, what do I really feel like doing in this moment? From there, she says, the trick is seizing the time to do what you want, ideally as soon as possible. If you can call that friend or do a little gardening before the rest of your regular commitments intrude, so much the better. 2. Seeing the morning light. Gretchen Rubin, author of the bestseller, The Happiness Project, says that the morning itself can play a critical role in setting us up for a more positive outlook. Specifically, she recommends making a goal of getting out in the early morning sun. You're up anyway, right? That really helps with happiness, she says. Many health reports back her up. Sunlight, along with fueling bone growth and strengthening the immune system, improves mood and focus by boosting serotonin levels in the body. It's also known to help the body produce the hormone melatonin on a schedule that better syncs with your natural circadian rhythm, helping you feel more alert during the day and fall asleep more easily after dark. Critical for those whom sound sleep has become a happiness stumbling block later in life. A great way to absorb some early light is to take a short walk. If a dog comes along, so much the better. Studies show that canine friends lower depression and anxiety as well as blood pressure. 3. Micro-exercise. Speaking of walking, we all know by now that exercise is a certified mood booster. But if getting out there continues to be a tall order for you, start small, really small. The difference between no exercise and a little bit of exercise is gigantic, Rubin says. Try a 5-minute walk, lifting hand weights, or balance on one foot and then the other a few times a day. A great move to maintain balance and prevent falls, by the way. And yes, if you can build from there, once exercise feels less overwhelming, all the better. Recent research shows that exercising bit by bit can add up to similar health benefits as continuous exercise of the same duration. For your mood in particular, movement encourages the production of endorphins, a stress-busting chemical that is released in your brain. In addition, when you move, you release a protein called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which has a protective and reparative element and can act as a reset switch, allowing us to feel at ease and even euphoric after a workout. 4. Clear Just a Drawer. Rubin's latest book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, describes how letting go of excess belongings can bring peace of mind. Her shortcut here involves organizing just a drawer full of stuff a day to reap the benefits associated with clutter clearing. They include better sleep, improved relationships, even weight loss. Such tidying up, she notes, brings special benefits for those of a certain age who feel stuck in a home with 3 bedrooms, a basement, attic, garage, and pantry, all often overstocked. Clearing out a drawer at a time and working up to a closet or two ultimately leads to checking off rooms from your list. Doing so, Rubin says, brings a tremendous sense of freedom. People feel lighter and less burdened with the weight of years. 5. Reach out. It's common wisdom now that connecting with others socially can offer a quick hit of happiness. A lack of strong social ties has been found to affect not just happiness, but also health and longevity. If you feel short on such connections, sometimes looking back can give you a way forward. Look for somebody in your life who got away, suggests Rubin, a neighbor who moved to a different part of town. Maybe you were always acquaintances, but for whatever reason you never moved the relationship forward. Maybe you can reconnect with that person now. You already have something in common. You know that you like each other. You can pick up again rather than trying to forge a new relationship. Setting a yearly time and place to meet up with friends who live farther away can also help you rekindle existing friendships. Join a group. Signing on to an existing group, perhaps at your church, synagogue, or community center, can also offer both connection and the stability that's sometimes lacking with one-on-one friendships, where one person catching a cold can ruin your plans for an evening. And don't rule out starting a group of your own. And finally, take a 5-minute meditation break. If anxiety or negative thinking threatens your daily happiness, try meditation to literally clear your mind. Just a few minutes of these mental exercises have been shown to have significant benefits for both psychological and physical health. You can find simple meditation to follow through books, classes, CDs, or a variety of apps. The popular app Headspace offers brief guided meditations that ask you to narrow your focus to something as simple as the sensation of your breath as you exhale and inhale, or to observe how your brain throws out errant thoughts as a tranquil voice encourages you to move past them. Well, that's our program for today, Modern Maturity. We'll be back next week. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. This broadcast is available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, make it a great week. See you in March.